All right. I'm signed in on Twitter on my computer for a
Back.
second. Just hold up. Why is Tavares trending?
The
Oh,
Islanders fan.
soccer player, soccer player, soccer player. There's a Tavares soccer player. Chad. Brock Nelson is trending. Why? At 21.6%, Brock Nelson had the best shooting percentage among all players with at least 30 goals last season.
Yeah, he's a sniper.
Ryan Strome is ahead of Brock Nelson. Really? And so is Nick Schmaltz and Jared McCann. Really? That's. Oh, this makes me so pissed. Yanni Gourde's ahead of Brock Nelson.
On that left wing list or center list?
I think it's a wing list. 33 through 64 is Rupe Hintz through Roslovic.
Centers.
It's Jay Fresh. Yep, centers. Really? Yanni Gourde over. Oh, what is this for, anyways?
It's just vote. I did it. I voted Nelson over Gord. I voted Nelson as you basically vote on like what line you think they belong, ranging from elite, from star to elite to first, second, third, fourth, or sub NHL.
So, what does this mean? 3.5.
That's like between second and third liner. All right. Here we go. 8 seconds. I didn't think I was going to make it for this one. Dropped my phone on the way home in the rain. Didn't really drop it. Fell out of my pocket. Found it. We're all good. Got home. Absolutely soaked. Wasn't sure if we were going to do it. Here we are. How are you, DB?
Doing good. It's been a minute. Feels good to be
It
back.
has. It does. It feels good to be back. You know, we got, I know we wanted to do it Wednesday, just didn't work out, had some other things come up, and you know, it's good to be back. And you know, we didn't miss, it was a good time to miss. There wasn't that much to talk about, so it's, you know, it's nice to come back and now have a lot to talk about. So we'll start with some news on the sadder side. Bobby Ryan was arrested in Nashville at the airport a few days back. Public intoxication. A lot of people probably recall. He had a battle with alcoholism for a while now. So just thoughts out to him and best luck on his road to recovery now as he sent out a few tweets. It's just starting over day one again. So best luck to an incredible hockey player.
100%. Best of luck to him. I'm happy that he's, got the his best foot forward with this, and he's just excited to get started on his chapter again.
I completely agree. All right, on to some new news. DB. First podcast we talked about this guy, so I'm going to get this one out of the way.
Okay.
On February 11th, 2023, a new statue will be coming to Crypto.com Arena,
Wow.
or as I like to call it, Staples Center. There'll be an individual Dustin Brown statue. I don't want to know your thoughts on this. I just want to mention it. I just want to say it is an interesting choice. I like it.
I really can't say anything.
I don't know. You know what? I don't know if I like it. I would have liked it if they went this route, maybe instead of a jersey retirement. But he was huge for that franchise. DB, say something and keep it.
Fine.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I 100% it was necessary. He was a great thing for that organization, and more power to him. It's just, my personal preferences couldn't, of
My
course,
personal
make
beliefs.
crypto. Yeah, exactly. It sounds stupid in the like
Crypto,
retrospective thing.
crypto,
So,
crypto.com arena sounds fucking stupid. That's what sounds stupid.
yeah, what happened to the Staples Center? That's the best place on earth, the best name on earth.
Yeah. Great arena,
Yeah.
bad company.
Yeah.
And they're also retiring his number. So number 23 is going to be retired in LA. You know, an interesting choice. You know, every year we kind of, every time a number is retired, we have these debates. Is it worth it? Is it not? What does a retirement of a number mean?
They just
You
can't pick
know.
number 23 anymore, which I mean, I think it's worth it. I think Dustin Brown deserves to have 23 retired.
I
He
do too.
was a
I do
big
too.
staple for them.
I do too. Was he ever your – he played on the first line for a while. Was he ever your typical first-line guy? Maybe not necessarily. Great
back
leader
then,
there.
Yeah. Back then, yeah.
Back then, yeah. But he wasn't, you know, he wasn't what you'd call your typical first-line guy. Your typical, I'm saying. But he still played on the first. He was still a huge part of that first line. So I think he does deserve it. You know, he didn't fit 100%. The mold of a typical first-line guy at that time.
Well, obviously. But back then, even when we were – compared to what we watched when we were 7 through 12, is a lot different than what we're watching right now. It's just – that was a way different time period. A lot of shit's definitely changed. I'm not saying it – I think it's changed for the better in senses, but some haven't. And I feel like Dustin Brown, when you say, like, he wasn't that mold of a first-liner, I say back in his – like, start of his era when he was drafted, that was the typical first-liner. Guy that can do the everything, jack of all trades, doesn't care if he has to get hurt, doesn't care if he has to get scrappy. He'll put the puck in the net 30 times a year, and he'll help your team win.
Yeah, he'll bang for the boys. So I think it's deserved. I do. But I do think that these, you know, these jersey retirements around the NHL spark a lot of debate. And I think this one's going to, and I think this one's well-deserved. I think Ryan Miller in Buffalo is well-deserved. And I think the one we're about to discuss is well-deserved. Patrick Marleau, number 12, will be retired this season as well.
Yeah,
I think that's another one that's well deserved. You know, there was a time that he went to Toronto for a couple years, but then he went back home. So, you know, went back to where he's, well, not home per se, but, you know, his team. So I think that's huge for both those teams to, you know, get those guys up in the rafters and for Brown to get a statue outside of Crypto.com Arena. So it's good to see these guys get honored and, you know, we're probably not going to see Dustin Brown make the Hockey Hall of Fame.
No, and I wasn't expecting that at all, but he is a L.A. King for life, and exactly. They did the right thing.
I think so, too. I completely agree. You know, they're honoring him in the way that he needs to be. He's been his whole career there. So, just a kid from Ithaca, New York kid. Bobby Brink, a little injury news. Bobby Brink tore his labrum, his left hip injury, out for 5 months.
Oh,
that's a tough one.
That's a
tough
very
one.
Tough
one. Because it's gonna you're out through preseason now. You're out through the beginning of the year. That's someone who I really think is gonna be, depending on how this injury recovery goes, is gonna be someone who suits up in Philly this year.
I think he's going right down the Lehigh Valley now.
Maybe now, but I definitely originally thought that he was gonna be in Philly.
Okay, yeah.
For sure. I mean, I, you know, he was great with Denver last year, and, you know, he's going to be a very good hockey player, but that's a very tough injury to have this early in your career. Brandon Sutter, almost said Pia Suter. Brandon Sutter is still battling COVID symptoms, long COVID symptoms, so not too sure what that's going to look like for his future in hockey. Still can't really train the level he wants to. He can't skate the level he wants to. He's still, you know, battling the short-winded, the chest pains, you know, the things that come with some cases of long COVID. And he said he hasn't really been able to treat it. So it doesn't sound like he's going to be coming back to the ice. He's currently a free agent. He came back after originally having COVID for a little, but then it, you know, kind of at the end of that season really took its toll. So it sounds like everything's pointing to the end of his career. I'm sure he's going to get a front office job somewhere, but it looks like it's going to be the end of his career.
Yeah, I can see it too. You know, it just stinks to hear, but, you know, I know he's got the power to get through this, and he's going to still find his way to still be in hockey. And I really hope he can get there faster. He can recover faster, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, you know, you gotta, at this point, you know, you gotta choose, you know, it's a tough choice to make, but I, at the end of the day, I think he's going to, and I think it's the wise choice to choose your health. You know, you've played a long career and you can still be part of the game. I'm sure that, you know, Vancouver takes care of their guys. They have a reputation for taking care of guys within the organization. So, you know, I'm interested to see what, you know, not necessarily interested to see what comes next for him, but I am interested, but I do hope that, you know, whatever comes next is what he wants to do. So one more piece of news. Mark Pisick, recently signed by Detroit, is having Achilles surgery. He's out 4 to 6 months. So be a little while before we see him suit up in Detroit. I know, another big surgery. I know, painful. Ugh, ugh. And then drum roll, please, DB. Here's the big one for you. I know you want to talk about this. It's a signing, right. So we'll get into the rest later. But John Klingberg, 1 year, $7 million in Anaheim. DB, go.
I like it. I mean, you know, you keep him there for the year and you see how you do. I told you, what, yesterday, the day before, Clayton? Anaheim, all they need to do is be competitive till midseason. They just want a top 10 pick. If they get this top 10 pick, I think this top 10 pick brings them into a playoff potential team. And Pat Verbeek's summer will be next free agency. And I think he pulls a Stevie Y and he turns the Anaheim Ducks into, you know, a Detroit Red Wings type team. A up-and-coming young team that's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I'm very excited. Maybe this, like you said, the Sonny Milano stuff that he hasn't – like, he hasn't re-signed Sonny Milano. That's very interesting, I should say. But you can't still rule it out because he hasn't signed anywhere. I'm very excited for the Ducks. And I think Klingberg was the guy because, you know, plays there for a year. They do what they need to do. They could trade him at the deadline for assets, but – if they're playing good and they want to keep him, they could sign him back maybe 5 by 6, 5 by 6.5.
Yeah, yeah, you can. You know, it's going to come down to how he plays this season. It's going to be a show-me year in Anaheim, how he fits the system, if they like him or not. He's got a full no-trade clause for the first half until January 1st. Then he's at a 10-team. So, if you're Anaheim, there's a few ways you can do this. First off, if you're Klingberg, you're getting to see a new style of life. Maybe at the end of the year you go, okay, I want to go back to Dallas. I like that style of life. Now you're getting the Anaheim. You're getting the West Coast on the beach. You're getting, you know, a whole different style of life. Maybe next year, free agency comes, boom, you want to go to the East Coast. You're not from the United States. You're from Sweden. Maybe you want to experience all the different lifestyles you can live here before making a multi-year commitment somewhere new. Or you get moved at the deadline. And Anaheim moves you for pieces, and then you go back to Anaheim, or you go wherever. Or you stay in Anaheim, and you do what you said. You re-up at the end of the year for 6 years, 5 years, between 6 and 7. Million per year for 4 to 6 years. So a lot of options. I like it for Anaheim. You know, you can't – it's tough because, you know, you have to build your team. You can't add all the pieces in one day.
No, you can't, but they're starting to slowly move the pieces into place.
You start it over a span of a few years, and then you do what Steve Yzerman did this summer, and you put the finishing touches, not necessarily the finishing touches, you get the bulk of the ending work done. The finishing touches come at the deadline. You know, or this is your team, and then the little add-ons come every deadline. You know, because your team's never set in stone, but your core is. So, you know, Anaheim's still working on their core. Klingberg might be someone who ends up being on the core. I think original plan was Hampus Lindholm maybe coming back after the deadline when they originally moved him, but he signed right away in Boston. So he's staying in Boston, so they didn't get him back. I think they were in on Josh Manson coming back, right shot defenseman. They didn't get him back.
So why not pick up the nice new shiny free agent?
Yeah, exactly. You know, Klingberg gets what he wants. He gets a lot of money. He gets it over 1 year, but he gets a lot of money. He can reassess next summer. You know, Taylor Hall did the same thing. He took a 1 year deal in Buffalo. He reassessed the next summer. You know, I think that there was rumors that he had a $7 million per year by 8 years offered in Dallas. No one has proven that. There's a certain hockey insider analyst, or not analyst, but there's a certain hockey basically a rumor guy, essentially, who continues to say this, that he had that offer. No one has found it to be true. This is the same, you know, person that's speculating a few other things as of late that are not turned out to be true. So I don't think there was an offer for John Klingberg that was $56 million total, spread out over 8 years in Dallas, but I'm not on the inside in Dallas, so I don't know. But I think this was Klingberg's best offer in terms of money per year, because it was seven. It was 1 year, but it was $7 million per year. An interesting thing for you here, DB. Last week we talked a lot about Jonathan Huberdeau, and I did a little bit of digging on his, you know, him and you know, for Florida Panthers and what he's meant to them. And I don't think people realize what a big you know, departure this is for the Panthers in terms of their history. He is the all-time leader for the Florida Panthers in games played with 671, in assists with 415, in points with 613. In created goals, he's created 219.7 goals, and he's a two-time All-Star. He's second in franchise history for goals with 198, and he's third in franchise history for game-winning goals with 26. That is someone who has really – and he won the Calder when he was a rookie. That's someone who's really been a huge part of the Florida Panthers' history, and it is a very big departure for a team that really doesn't have that identity of long-term players.
100%. I mean, I feel like a guy like Jonathan Huberdeau, he meant a lot to the Florida Panthers, but I'm going the opposite direction with you. I don't – they might be nostalgic, and he is very meaningful to them, but right now in my Florida Panthers' mind, it's the Matthew Tkachuk show. You're ready for that to start. You got a younger guy coming in who, yeah, he's not as established, but, yeah, he came off a pretty good season last year. And I feel like there's more room for him to grow. And I feel like Florida's the place for him to do it. And now he hates Tampa. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting down there.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's going to change the whole Atlantic division.
100%. And I know we were talking about Huberdeau. That's my bad. But, like, that's what I just had to say. Like, Huberdeau, to them, you know, you're sending him to Calgary. Calgary, you don't really have to worry about them too much, so.
I disagree. I think you have to worry about Calgary still. I don't think as much as before, but I think you still do. I think Calgary is still a team to worry about.
I mean, 100%. Honestly, it really depends on where Nazem Kadri signs. I really feel like Nazem Kadri, if he wants to fuck with everyone, he just goes and takes Johnny Gaudreau's spot, and they kind of have pretty much the same team.
Yes, technically, he would almost more so be taking Matthew Tkachuk's spot. I do get what you mean, though, because Huberdeau is that same playmaker, not the same playmaker, but he's a playmaker similar to Gaudreau, whereas Kadri is a similar style player to Matthew Tkachuk. So I think the thing that sucks for Calgary is, you know, they're getting this. This doesn't help them get younger. You know, going from Kadri, going from Gaudreau and Tkachuk to Kadri and Huberdeau is not getting younger on a team that it's not they have to get younger, but they're, you know, their core is getting older. They don't really necessarily have a great prospect pool. They don't have a bad one per se. They don't have a great one. They've got a goaltender who I really like. They've got Dustin Wolf in the pipeline. I like him, but he's very small. Now we enter the issue of, in order to be a goaltender in the NHL that's sub 6 foot, you have to be remarkable. You do.
Yeah.
You have to be remarkable. UC Saros is remarkable because you have to be that much better at angles, cutting off space, your timing, your rebound control, everything, because you have that much more net that your body doesn't naturally cover, that you have to make up for with your positioning, with your style, your stance, your everything. So you have to be that much more, you know, skilled. And I don't know if they have that in Dustin Wolf. I don't know if he's an NHL goaltender. I think that size holds him back. We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. I kind of agree with you on that statement, though. I really don't feel like he's going to be an NHL goaltender.
No, I don't know. I think he'll play some games up there. I don't know if he's going to be able to – I don't know if it's going to be something that's long-term, though. I think Dan Vlader is good.
He's a great backup. Yeah, he's pretty good backup. I agree for Markstrom.
I mean, in a tandem, I'd even argue he'd be a good 1B. In a tandem with a guy who's a 1A. But, okay, you know, Markstrom's an elite goaltender. So, you know, he's obviously the backup there. But a few other things. You mentioned Kadri. Where else? Where are your top few teams? Where do you think he's going? You want me to go first, or you want to go first?
I heard.
You heard? Oh, shit. Insider.
Well, not heard, but I seen, I should say, on Puck Report that it was – or not – it's Puck
Empire.
It was Puck Empire. and it was Avalanche and Islanders. I really think he just goes back to Colorado. He would be stupid not to, but I don't know. He wants to make it interesting.
You know, I could see a team pulling a surprise.
Who do you see it being?
I could see a team like Carolina pulling a surprise, but I don't know if Kadri goes to a place like Carolina. That's the thing. Kadri, you have to remember there's certain circumstances that may not be prevalent in all situations. Where would you really want to go to Carolina if you're in Nazem Kadri's position? I don't know. I don't think I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to go to Carolina. At all.
Yeah, no.
I want to go to it doesn't seem like a place that would necessarily that's going to sound like I repeated myself. The audio didn't glitch. I said that twice. It doesn't really sound like a place that or seem like a place that would necessarily accept him, if that makes sense. I'm not saying anything bad about the fan base. I'm just saying historically, geographically speaking, that may not be the best fit.
I 100% get that, but I just don't think that should even be. Yeah.
New York City would be great. Colorado, Denver, great. Calgary, I could even see being a good option. Possibly. I don't know much about Calgary, but I don't think so. I think Carolina and Calgary are a little similar. So I think New York and Colorado make the most sense. In terms of cap combined with all of this, I think New York makes a little bit more sense. However, I don't know. I think it's 50-50. If you're talking
I think he goes back. I'm not getting my hopes up.
I think he does too, but then the Islanders have if you have not made a splash this summer, you have to do something. Romanov is not a splash. I'm sorry. He's a good defenseman. He's not a splash.
I agree.
You need to address an issue.
We still haven't addressed an issue that we've been having for the last 4 years.
The issue is scoring. The issue is not defense. You guys have a great defense. You guys have great goaltending. I mean, it was nice to bolster your top four. It was needed. Yes, you guys needed that. However, you also need a goal scorer. You lost Eberle. Brock Nelson can score, but he's not a first-line player.
But can he be?
Can he be?
Do you think he could? Hold up. No, hold up. Do you think he could be? And a guy like Lou Lamoriello signed a guy like Sonny Milano, and you kind of depth it out.
If you take Milano, Barzal, you go Milano, Barzal, Nelson, you go Lee, I'm spacing out. Who's their second center?
Lee, ooh.
Who's your top? Wallstrom would be another wing.
Yeah, Wallstrom's a winger.
Would it be Peugeot? Is Peugeot
It'd be
center?
Peugeot's three. He's three.
He's three. Who's two? Is Nelson normally two?
Nelson's normally the two. Yeah, so Kadri makes sense.
If you move Nelson to the wing. And put him
but that means, but that means Milano. You don't pick up Sony Milano. I mean, you pick
yeah,
up both
who's
of them.
Your top six right now, DB?
Beauvillier, you're thinking out Beauvillier. Lee plays, but center. Yeah. Think about it. So you get rid of Beauvillier and you get Kadri and Sony Milano.
Yeah, if you can make that work, you do it. You might have to move someone like Cale Clutterbuck. I hate to say, not Cale Clutterbuck, but someone down there who makes a decent. I don't
That's
think Clutterbuck makes a decent chunk anymore, but someone else. But also, I mean, that bottom line, as good as they have been, they're getting older.
They got older, and they showed last year, and I really feel like it's time. You paid Ross Johnston 4x1. Let him get in. Guy plays like 15 games a year.
Yeah, let him get in, exactly. Couple other guys that don't know where they're going yet. We've got Brian Boyle and PK Subban. Subban, it sounds like, has interested teams that are trying to work on their cap situation and see where their defense stands. And Brian Boyle, from what it sounds like, he wants to play in the NHL this year. That's what it sounds like. I don't know if teams have reached out. I don't know what the case is there, but it sounds like he wants to play in the league this season.
I don't know who picks up a guy like Brian Boyle, honestly. I really don't.
You know who I would like him on? I like him as a 4C on any fucking playoff team. No, I like him as a 4C on a team like Anaheim.
Then here's this. Do you dump off a guy New like York. Cal Clutterbuck? Yeah.
Cizikas. Nah, you keep Cizikas. He's too valuable to get rid of. But he makes so much.
But he's the best one on that fourth line.
On that fourth line. So maybe you dump Clutterbuck dump and Martin Boyle.
No, you dump Martin and Clutterbuck and you have dude. Johnson Martin's and good. I love Matt Martin, but he's old. Holy
Jesus Christ. He's like 36, dude. He's 34.
I don't know. They're just last year really kind of made me upset with them. But we're
here's the thing with this season though. Think about it this way. No COVID. That's all you got to hope for. No, you know, no COVID break this year. No, nothing like that. So you don't have to worry on that front. So, I mean, I think things are going to look better for you guys. You know, but I think you guys got to make a change. I think you guys got to add someone. So we'll move on from the Islanders.
Yeah, we need to. That was my bad, but
you're all good. But I mean,
Kadri sweepstakes. It's looking okay. It's looking okay.
I know. We'll talk about PK for a second. He wants to go somewhere that's competitive. You know, his agent says he's felt it right. He said that he's kind of got that right. You know, what he's done in his career. I agree. I think he's got offers from good teams, but I think it's a money thing. I think teams are tight on cap. They want to wait. They want to see what's going on. If you have an arbitration date, you get a second buyout window. Keep that in mind. It's going to be huge. You can buy it. Anybody with an over $4 million cap hit, if San Jose gets – not that San Jose would do this, but San Jose is an interesting one to watch. I don't know if they have any arbitration left. They do not, actually, not off the top of my head. Let's see. I'm just trying to see here. I got the dates written down from last pod. No, San Jose has no more arbitration going on, so they don't get any. But I was just waiting to see if Vlasic would get bought out this summer, but – I guess not. Speaking of San Jose, we talk about David Quinn. It sounds like Ryan Warsawski is going to get the assistant coaching job from what it sounds like. Nothing official yet, but he's coming off a Calder Cup championship with the Chicago Wolves.
Okay. Yeah, so David Quinn's job.
Whoa. Did the Chicago Wolves just win? Who just won?
I swear to God, wasn't it Springfield?
Was it Springfield? Oh, shit. You know what? I bet it was.
No, Springfield lost. Springfield lost.
Was it the Chicago Wolves?
Yeah, let me check for you.
Yeah, check for me. I think it's the Chicago Wolves this year. And, yeah, it's got to be. I know I'm right. I'm right. Fucking, I'm always right.
Chicago Wolves, yep.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, thanks. Chicago Wolves. Ryan Warsawski, new assistant coach in San Jose. Nothing official yet, but from what it sounds like, it's going to be official any day now. John Madden, not that John Madden, is the new assistant coach for the Arizona Coyotes. 3 Stanley Cups as a player. Spent the last 2 years as assistant coach in San Jose. He's 49, so Arizona getting a nice younger guy added to the staff. It's a good pickup. You know, it's
solid. Yeah, I mean, Arizona needed a guy. You know, you need to lighten up the bench. It's going to be a young team. You need a young guy to, you know, take the reins. Maybe he can bring the whole team through the promised land. And
good.
I just want to see the Coyotes succeed. I just want to see him succeed so bad.
They're not going to this year, though. You gotta.
Keep I know that.
Succeeding this year is Connor Bedard.
Is it though?
Elaborate.
Hear me out. So.
And then we'll go to break.
Shut up.
After this, we'll take a break.
Okay.
That's what I was saying. I want to hear you out, though.
Okay. I think the Coyotes. Wrong. Look at where they're at right now. Okay.
I'm fucking with you. Okay, go ahead.
I'm pulling up Cap Friendly, and we're going to look at this team real quick, and I'm going to show you that Bedard might not be, needed as much as you think. Jesus Christ. Okay. No, of course any team would want him.
What? He's the best. He's going to be the best player in the National yes. Hockey League. I'm okay. Right now.
Next year, you don't have Ladd's contract. Yeah. You re-sign Nick Ritchie to about the same type of deal he was on, so about 2.5 for. You let Nick Ritchie walk, you think?
Yes.
You let Christian Fisher walk in RFA next year?
Yes.
You let Nick Bjugstad maybe re-sign if he has a decent year on that fourth line.
If he has a decent year, let him run the fourth line for a few years.
Yep. Jack McBain's obviously getting paid.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm interested to see how he does this
year. Nathan Smith, too. They'll probably both get little contracts, I think.
I'm interested to see how they do. I am. I really.
Michael Carcone, gone.
No. I like him for the AHL.
Okay, so two-way contract, sorry.
But, yeah, no.
Baby, you lose Goss Despair's 4.5.
No, you don't. You keep him.
Well, no, I know what I'm saying. You give him a lot of cap space.
He had 50 points last season, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I'm not saying
on a shitty team. I think you give him like 3.5, but I get your point. Your point's been made.
You have a lot of
you have a bunch of cap space right now, too.
And draft picks that you can give out.
What are you thinking?
Because think about it. In 23, they have not really many. They have one first rounder, one second rounder, and two thirds. A fourth and a fifth and a sixth. No seventh. But 2024, they have 3 seconds, 4 thirds, and 2 fourths and 2 sevenths. So I'm thinking either this year the Coyotes turn their 2025 seconds into multiple first round picks like they did again this year, or all the picks they have right now are going to be after guys at the deadline when the Coyotes are just, you know, somewhat contenders. And then they're just going to be that dark horse team. And then everyone's going to re-sign back. Cause who doesn't like the hype of, yeah, you're playing in college right now, but guess what? You're going to have what, an $8 billion fucking complex built brand new for you to play in.
Yeah. No. What are their 2025 picks?
They got one first and 4 seconds.
In 2025?
Yep.
Holy shit. That's solid.
Win now mode could be in order if Bill Armstrong really wants to, you know.
I think that's the plan. I'm doing the math, and you said that. Now I'm doing the math in my head. Okay, you get the Bedard draft, you draft now, right? In 2024, you probably draft. In 2024 offseason, you probably make a couple trades. Like if you think about what Colorado did when they were a shitty team still, they worked on bringing in guys like Burakovsky, who they traded for a second, I think, after Washington won the cup. They traded a second for him, or a second and a third from Washington. But they brought him in either way. They brought him in. He was young. He was 24, I believe, at the time. 23, 24. They brought him when he was young. That's what the Coyotes, I feel, at that point are going to start doing. So I think that's a solid move to add that many seconds in 2025, because that's what you were going to be able to move for guys, you know, and to keep being able, you know, keep utilizing this cap space and start adding prospects too, instead of just draft picks, you know, because you want to add some guys now who are around that 20 year old mark, 21 year old.
They got five guys on their starting line in their NHL defensive core that are on ELC still.
Yes.
But NHL team.
I don't think they have a lot of but on the defensive core end of things, I really don't think they have great prospects.
You don't like Moser?
I think Moser is a top six.
That's not bad for what they need, especially at his age. He's 22. He's an RFA in 24, 25.
I think he's gonna peak at like a third line defenseman, though, is what I mean. I think that's his role forever.
Hey, if more power to him, if he can.
I know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but
I know what you're saying.
I just don't like you look at teams around the league and they have that defenseman. I think the Coyotes is something they really lack. You know, they got
How do you like a guy like Cam Dineen?
I don't. I don't think he's. I don't know if he's ever gonna be an NHL mainstay. I don't think he is. I really don't. I think he's NHL for most of his career.
It's just so funny to me that
they signed
Josh Brown.
I think that Cam Dineen's, you know, he's obviously a good player, but I don't think he's, you know.
I get what you're saying. He's good at what he does,
but I don't think he's necessarily he's not the prospect that I'm referring to. You know, I'm referring, like, you look at the other teams, even just in the Pacific, and you get, I like Riker Evans a lot in Seattle, but I won't include him because that might just be something. No, I think he's going to be a fucking stud, so I'm including him. You look at LA, you get Brandt Clark. You look in San Jose. Maybe you have Ryan Merkley. Not too sure on that yet. Verdict's still out there. You look in Anaheim. You've got Jamie Drysdale. You've got Pavel Mintikov. You've got Olin Zellweger. You look in Vancouver. You've got Quinn Hughes. He's still young. Not a prospect, but he's still young.
True.
You got, let's think, other Pacific teams here. Coyotes are Central, so they're not Pacific anymore. Fuck me. You look at the other Central teams, and you've got great young prospects too. Obviously, you've got Byron McCarr in Colorado. You've got Sean Behrens coming up too. Not on the same level as those guys, but he's very good. Minnesota, you've got Carson Lambos. You've got Chicago, you got Kevin Korchinski. You've got Alex Vlasic there too. Nashville, we don't really have a defensive prospect in Nashville that I really – I mean, I like Luke Prokop, but I don't think he's a defensive defenseman. He's not an offense – I'm talking offensive guys who can – like guys who can contribute to the rush heavily, not just strong defensive games.
I get what you're saying.
But my point that I'm making is the Coyotes don't have that guy yet. I think that's something they're going to need to look into.
I can agree with it, but whether it be via draft we're still looking at the – but we're still looking at the fact that they have Jacob Chychrun. They don't – they're not – they don't have to get rid of him if they don't want to.
Right, but we're now let's look at by the time that they're rebuild, by the time this rebuild's done, right? Add 2 years to his age and subtract 2 years from his contract.
What's it so say? He's got his last year and he's 26.
He's a UFA at the end of his contract.
Yep,
he ain't coming back.
You don't know, mate. I mean, okay, but then guess what? You get some cap back, and you hopefully were building a defensive core in the rebuild to play with Jacob Chychrun just so he can get replaced.
Yes, I agree. All right, we're taking a break. We'll be back, and then we'll talk. We'll talk about a couple other assistant coaches, and then we'll get into some. I don't know. Get into some more. Whatever the fucking word. Signings, I guess. We'll just say signings. I was trying to think of something better, but we'll be right back. All right. A couple more coaching things. Mark Stort, Edmonton's new assistant. 2020 to 2021. Assistant coach with Todd Woodcroft at University of Vermont. Last year, he was assistant coach at Colorado College. He's got 673 games in the National Hockey League. He joins Dave Manson and Glenn Gullitson as assistants in Edmonton. DB, you know Mark Stort, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, Mark Stewart's just, you know, the mainstay NHL defenseman. I didn't think he, you know, was something like a big shot as a defenseman. He was obviously a, you know, career NHLer. He got more power to him. He played really good. But that's a good assistant coach signing. It means they're going to be a little bit more defensive because that's how he played.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's good for them too. It's a good move for them to, you know, do that, and it's something that they need help on. I like him and Dave Manson both being on the bench. Those are two guys who can really help out on defense. And then Scott Allen is actually did I read that Mark Stort is going to be coaching offense? There's someone who's coaching offense that played defense in the NHL. I couldn't remember if it was him or not. John McLean is going to be in New York with the Islanders as an assistant coach. Brian Wiseman is not. I didn't include that in our notes for today, but that is also that has happened too. Wiseman will not be joining the team. And Scott Allen is the new assistant in Washington. He will be coaching forwards and penalty kills. So we'll see how Ovechkin likes him and how long he's there. But who knows? So, it's been a while, DB. What have you been up to?
Nothing much. Nothing? Just, you know, I mean, I play softball every week. I hang out with Olive. I just do, you know, like average retired
just do
people
fucking,
shit.
Just do retired people shit. You know, I'm old. I'm fucking
I work. Retired. I feel like, obviously I'm going to start school soon. So it's going to be a new change, but I've just kind of been, you know, laying low. I'm going to Seattle. Well, for the podcast, people will be Monday, but right now it's Saturday, so in 2 days. So, honestly, I feel like after Seattle, it's, you know, that's like my final fun vacation, and then adulting starts, and I'm very excited for that.
Yeah. Are you going to classes in person or online?
I'm going in person, man, dude. I'm going back to school. It's going to be fun. I'll even post on the Instagram and everything, the stupid caption.
Jesus Christ. What's that movie where the kid goes back to school? Billy Madison. It's going to fucking be like, you're going to be like a fucking old guy going back to kindergarten. Holy shit.
I know. Math 141, all the stupid classes.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's going to be exciting, though.
No, I'm very excited. You know, start my life, start something new. It's gonna be a challenge.
Yeah, that'll be good. You gonna hit the team store in Seattle?
You know what? Maybe I can make my way over there.
Yeah.
Maybe I can see if I could check Climate Pledge Arena out. I'll be in T-Mobile Park once for sure, and maybe twice. So
gonna catch a Mariners game.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, and then hopefully a Mariners game.
The Peppers or the Pipers?
The Peppers.
Thank fucking God. Okay. Trying to make sure.
The Peppers with the Strokes.
You know there's some people. Oh, Strokes too? Jesus Christ. Nice timing. Nice timing to go there for that. Yep. Jesus. I thought you were going to say the Pipers at first, and you had me fucking worried, dude. You know there's some people really going, you know, not to dog on anyone who listens, but you listen to fucking Red Hot Chili Pipers?
The Peppers.
Oh, yeah, I'd hope so, but jeez. I was going to say, man, the only bagpipe song, what's the one from Goon? That's a good one.
Yeah, the Half-Fact Islander one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. You watch any movies recently while we're on movies?
I mean,
not
honestly.
Recently. We're talking last week. We'll go last 2 weeks.
Shit.
Anything? We watched Week of Blacks when you came over, but that was over 2 weeks ago now. We only watched 5 minutes of it.
Yeah, no, dude. I honestly, what did I watch? Know. Oh, fuck! What is it? It's on Netflix. It's like one of the top tens. It's
oh shit! Come on, think of it. Think of it.
It's the military people. The who's in it? Post 9/11. Chris Hemsworth.
Oh fuck! Well, what is it? Oh shit!
You've seen it?
No. Like the ad thing. I scroll by it on Netflix the other day.
Yeah, dude, I don't remember the name, but that one, that was a good ass movie. I can't remember
the name.
We're so
good that
you can't
remember the name of it.
Yep.
That's solid.
But seriously, honestly, I haven't been watching much movies lately. I've been working, hanging out with Olive and playing softball and doing the pod.
Running it up at slow pitch.
Yeah, honestly, and mostly we've been playing more Xbox together lately.
I know we've been running some Xbox, running some Chell, doing some threes.
This is going to be the first hint on the pod for people who actually listen to it fully. I want you to comment your gamer tag on ringside.pod for Xbox, and we want to play you guys in NHL.
Oh,
we want to play you in NHL.
DB's getting really fucking cocky at Chell. Recently, he dummied me. I used to beat him all the time. I used to fucking kill him, and he started to get cocky, and he's been beating me though, so he's gotten pretty good. Well, before we get away from movies though, I got a few good ones that I watched recently. Have you seen the one with fucking, I think it's Steve Carell, I think that's who it is. I couldn't think of it, if who was it, might have been Steve Carell, and fucking Ryan Gosling. Where they meet at the bar, and then like Ryan Gosling is up dating the guy's daughter after Steve Carell and his wife get divorced. Steve, he becomes like best friends with the guy, and he ends up dating his daughter. The other guy does, Steve Carell doesn't know that Gosling is dating his daughter, dating Carell's daughter, and then he finds out and he's fucking pissed.
I've never seen it, man.
I can't remember what it's called. That was good. We watched Juno with Michael Cera. That was solid. Never seen that before. That gets top 10 movies of all time for me.
Okay.
And Simple Favor with fucking Blake Lively.
Never seen that either.
Anna Kendrick. That's solid. Something tells me we've seen very different movies.
I just haven't been keeping up with movies.
I'm not a movie.
I haven't been able to sit down. I do too, but I haven't been able to sit down and watch them recently.
Did you ever see The Irishman?
Nope.
Holy fuck. You're banned from the pod. Jesus.
I mean, dude, no, I...
Fucking, dude, that's a like long fucking saying, movie, though. It's like 3.5 hours. They came out. Jesus. They came out senior year.
Dude, I...
You're from New York. I know. I know. I've oh, you were, in, you were in Gillette.
Well, I was, yeah, we graduated senior year.
And then you went to Gillette, or were you already in Gillette?
Yeah, think about it. We graduated. I had the summer to work and train, and I left. So I didn't really have time.
You
I was
watching movies in Gillette.
No, not really, because I was at practice. And if exactly. we went to go see a movie, I think the only movies I went to go see in Gillette were like...
Fucking Marvel.
No. I didn't even see that there. What did I see? Free Guy. I saw Free Guy there.
That shit was good. That shit was good.
Yeah, that's a good. I love that. Yeah, I love that movie. But
yeah,
that's the one. Oh, and then we saw The Croods. The boys love The Croods.
I haven't seen it. The fucking is it the movie with like the fucking caveman animated caveman people?
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yep. The boys went to go see The Croods too. We loved it. We had a kid, Hunter Beckett. Quick shout out. He's like one of my favorite vets I played with.
You better be listening.
His brother. Yeah, honestly, if you're listening, Hunters, what's up? But his little brother, Holden, came down to Gillette to play for a couple weeks, like for a couple weekends, because his AAA teams had off. And he had, you know, like the long flow. But this, like, the grandma on the Croods, her name's like, what's it called? I don't even know her fucking name. It's some stupid animated character name. But she's got this, like, little stick that she points, and then her hair goes flying, and it's, like, named Wigassist. So we named him, like, the little rookie Wigassist, and it was so funny. So oh,
Jesus. Wigassist. Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
But, yeah, no, like, I mean, those are the only movies I've seen in Gillette. I swear.
Croods, solid. You swear. A lot of the
A lot of the guys in Gillette did go to see movies, but last season I was working every Thursday night, so –
That oh, like, B-dubs. That
would, yep, the B-dubs grind. Such a great B-dubs. Time, huh?
No free shout-outs. No free ads. But did you go to the movie with us at Globals that year in Vegas? Were you with us?
I don't
think
so.
Did you go see Cars with us?
No.
Oh, shit. Well, a bunch of us went to go see Cars when that new one came out. I think it was 3. Would it have been Cars 4 or 3? I think it would have been 4. It was Cars. No, it was 4. It was Cars 4. It was the new one where he hands it over to the fucking other driver and he becomes the crew chief or whatever the hell happens. I forgot. It's been like 4 years, 5 years. All right. Anyway, enough about movies. Let's talk about Russian hockey players. A couple signings. Sasha Shmevlevsky is leaving the Sharks, headed to the KHL. Dmitry Askin is leaving the Coyotes, heading to the KHL. Alex Kovanov, who got bought out by Minnesota, is heading to the KHL. American Joey Keane, who played for Carolina and their AHL affiliate Chicago last year, was a good defensive prospect for them. He's headed to the KHL. David Ferrance, Nashville prospect, who was not qualified, former Boston University hockey player, Boston University Terrier. He's just signed with Chicago Wolves of the AHL, Carolina's AHL affiliate. Antoine Moran just went from San Jose to Germany. Stefan Mateo just went from Colorado to the SHL. Nick Merkley is headed to the KHL. Sammy Niku is headed to Liga. And Adam Cracknell just signed with Tucson in the American Hockey League. DB, anybody there you really want to talk about? I know someone I want to talk about.
I know you want to talk about Adam Cracknell, so let's just go into it. I know
I
you
want to
really
talk about
like
Dmitry
that.
Askin first.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm, right, I'm a little. It. I was hoping that went better when he came back. I think everybody was excited.
I think that was what the Coyotes honestly needed, is that signing to work out a little bit. You know, you get them a little scoring in the right direction.
Yeah,
because he could have stayed on and played a 3. He could have played. I mean, he was old. He was like 30, what, 31, 30?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he'll go back to the KHL and dominate over there. But
yeah, 100%. He's going to get on the gas and do his thing.
He got the injury. And, you know, it was tough. Was he just here for 1 year or was he here for 2?
No, he was here for literally four games he played.
Okay, that's what I thought. I mean, you know, he was. I was hoping that it would be good. I was hoping it would be a, you know, comeback story. I was hoping.
I know. I was excited about it.
And they could have moved him at the deadline and got assets for him, and he would have had a good year. And you know, and that sucks. It's tough to see that. And you know, I hope it is, you know, good time in Russia, or you know, good career in Russia. Resumption of his career. Joey Keane is shocking. It's always shocking right now, especially to see Americans or Canadians in Nick Merkley's case go to the KHL right now. It's very interesting to me. And Louis Erickson may be going to Sweden too. It sounds like he's going to end his career over there. Adam Kraken.
Excuse me.
Love that signing. Veteran presence. Going to be good for the players.
Wow. I just died. Dude, I don't know.
Are you done? No.
I'm good. I think.
It's okay. You're all good. Let me know next
time. My bad.
Come on. Get with it.
You get with it. Get the fuck going.
So Adam Cracknell, I like that signing. Good veteran presence for Tucson. It's going to be good for the Arizona Coyotes prospects to kind of get that, you know, veteran leadership. He's played a decent amount of games in the NHL, played a lot in the AHL. You know, he's got experience in the game of hockey, just both levels. So it's going to be nice to have him in the locker room down there. So, DB, anything?
I 100% agree with you on that. Like, sweet. I mean, I can't talk right now. So you just keep going for a second.
Perfect. Vegas announced they're signing William Rydell to a PTO. He is currently signed with the Henderson Silver Knights. He'll be attending camp on a PTO. He is the first Jamaican-born hockey player to be drafted. Fun fact. Jamaican-born, how that would not be how you word that, but he is the first drafted Jamaican-born hockey player. There we go. And Columbus has announced a series of PTOs. They're a big grouping of them. Cole Fonstad, Roman Akin, Owen Sillinger, Cole Clayton, Olivier LeBlanc. Cole Clayton played in the with Lake Erie last year. Owen Sillinger is Cole Sillinger's brother. And Roman Akin is Jack Akin's brother. So, signings. A couple decent ones. You know, we'll skip the minor ones. But there's a few I really want to talk about. We'll start with the Seattle Kraken getting business done. Morgan Geeky, 1 year, $4.1 million. Michael Kempney, $750K, 1 year. Ryan Donato, who they didn't qualify. He's coming back. 1 year, $1.2 million. DB, what do you got to say?
I think that's a good price for him. I don't think that's – I think that's perfect.
No, I think all three are good.
I think the last one's the perfect one. That was what you needed, honestly. Just to, sign him, but nothing too bad.
I think Donato's good. I think Geeky might be a little bit high at one.
Yeah, no, Geeky's too high, but it's a year.
It's
exactly.
Only a year. He's still got to prove himself. I think it's a big year for him. Michael Kempney, it's a solid ad on the back end.
Yeah, 100%.
Have back there. Let's see. Couple signings in Carolina. They re-signed Stelio Mateos to a 1 year, $750K. They signed William Lagesson, 1 year, $750K. And Ryan Zingel is headed back to Carolina. Where did he play at the end of the last season? Was he in San Jose? Yeah, San Jose. He 1 year, $750K. And Ethan Bear, they're avoiding arbitration, 1 year, $2.2 million. Ethan Bear, interesting contract. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's great. I think it's a little higher than what I would have ideally paid, but again, 1 year, avoids arbitration. They're going to move him, I think. I really think he's going to be gone before the season comes around. I like the Zingel pickup, and I like the Lagesson pickup. What do you got to say? Anything?
I like that Zingel pickup. I mean, I feel like for a team like Carolina, do they really need him in their lineup? But he can shift into that lineup and give himself some value so they can, you know, trade him away for assets that they might need. You know, I think Carolina could, you know, like you said, make that big splash, but it could be somewhere closer to the trade deadline instead of right now, where they would want that player to bolster it up. And I feel like a guy like Ryan Dzingel could get them pieces or be a part of a package to go somewhere to get something like that.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it. I think that, you know, they like Pacioretty, and I forgot they had made that, you know, big addition. And I think that if that's all they do this summer, I will consider a good summer for them. That's a, that they addressed what they needed to. Goal scoring was an issue. Losing D'Angelo on the back end sucks, but they still have one of the best first pairing of defensemen in hockey. So they're getting Jake Gardner back. Who knows how he plays this season? I'm interested to see. A couple others good signings here. Jesse Puljujärvi, 1 year, $3 million, re-ups in Edmonton, avoids arbitration.
I think he's getting traded soon.
This is my favorite one. This next one.
Okay.
My favorite signing of them all. Jonas Siegenthaler, 5 years, $3.4 million per year. I love it.
Yep, I do too. You locked up your best defensive defenseman.
Top 10 defensive defenseman in the NHL. I really think so.
Yeah, that's underrated. What you needed. Now you don't have to really worry as much as you should have, but I don't know what the direction the Devils are in. They're looking good, but they're still shock me. They can shock me. Yeah.
That's going to be a solid up front with Jack Hughes. It's going to be nice.
I think it's going to be very scary.
I do too. I think Siegenthaler is like, if I had to pick like top five under like guys who are most underrated, he's definitely one of the most underrated players in the NHL. He does not get much credit.
I agree.
I think whether it be the market that he's in or just that he doesn't make an impression on the scoreboard necessarily could be it. But I mean, talk about just not, underappreciated from a lot of hockey fans that don't follow the Devils or didn't follow Washington when he was there. Couple other league minimum signings. Ole Olevi's headed to Anaheim. 1 year, $750K. Robert Hagg, this isn't league minimum, but 1 year, $800K in Detroit. Klim Kostin re-upped in St. Louis. 1 year, $750K. And then Danton Heinen, who was not qualified by Pittsburgh, is headed back on a 1 year, $1 million deal. Elliot Friedman said he had a couple offers that were over that, but he chose to go back. One of the offers was from the Winnipeg Jets, but he chose Pittsburgh.
Smart choice. Smart kid.
Smart kid. Smart kid. Playing with Crosby, playing with Malkin. He's not incredibly young, but you got to think that Pittsburgh's going to be a team that in a few years is going to have a lot of salary cap, and Heinen's going to be past his, paydays, in quotes, when this happens. But if you're a guy who's super young in Pittsburgh, you got to be a little bit excited, like an Owen Pickering type guy, because when you're turning 24 in 6 years or, 23 in 5 years, whatever, you're going to be on a team that has a lot of salary cap.
And you're going to get a lot of money.
I don't think that Pittsburgh is going to be a team that's going to struggle necessarily. I think they will for a little bit. I do. I don't think they're going to be great. I think Pickering's a great pick. I really do. But I think that there's going to be a couple of years where it's not great times in Pittsburgh.
But I do too. I agree.
I don't think they're going to struggle long term.
Nah, they'll just have a year or two off. I feel like they're going to have an Islanders moment in the next couple of years.
I just, do too.
A year where they just skip, miss the playoffs, and then they're just back in it. I feel like next year, what's it called? Shit. I just lost my train of thought completely. But next year, Pittsburgh comes out of the playoffs for New Jersey.
All right. Book it on the hot takes. We're going to do a lot of those before the season starts too. We're going to do like a whole hot take episode. Speaking of Metro, Kaapo Kakko, 2 years, $2.1 million per year. And then Owen Tippett, 2 years, $1.5 million per year. A couple signings there. I like the Kakko signing. I think it's good. I think he's going to get moved. I like Tippett signing. I think he's got a lot to prove in Philly. And then the last signing that we'll talk about today, Matthew Joseph, 4 years, $2.95 million.
Oh boy, that's a good one.
A lot of people are, that's an overpay. No,
That's a great one.
I like it. He's going to bring something to that room. He's still young. He brings a lot to the table. I think he's going to be a third line player there this year, and I think that is what a guy like him commands. I think that's what he deserves. I think that is a solid payment for him. It's 4 years too, so think what he's going to be worth in 4 years. That's what people don't realize.
He's probably going to be around the same or less, exactly.
Yeah, well, he's going to be worth more. I think he's going to be worth more than he is now. He'll be worth that $295 million more so than he is now.
I feel like he's going to be a career at least, or at most four.
At most, oh, totally. I don't think he'll ever make more than three. I think this is his big, this is like a big payday. Maybe he'll make three, but I think this is a big payday. It's a good contract. I like it. I don't hate it. It's on the higher end for sure.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a stupid signing.
No, it's still in the acceptable range. You know, if I had to make a range of money that I think is acceptable for him over 4 years, I think 2.95 over per year for 4 years, I think it's acceptable.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think it's crazy. Anything you got around the league that you really want to talk about before we go?
Honestly, I'm pretty much good, honestly.
I think I'm good. I think we covered everything. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. You know, I know we didn't do two this week, but I think we should continue to do two going forward for the off season at least. You know, just to talk about, even if we do one, you know, just talk about other moves that have happened this off season in more in depth. We still haven't really had the Duncan Keith Hall of Fame discussion. It's something I really want to talk about. So I think, or have we had that discussion?
No, we haven't fully had it.
We'll have it. We'll have that. It's going to be a good one. I think that we should plan on doing two a week. So Wednesdays and Sundays. This will drop Sunday the 31st.
Okay.
All right. Sound good?
Sounds good. Okay. I will be recording from Seattle, Washington from now on until I get back. So
from now on until he's back.
Yeah, for like two episodes.
Yeah, two. I mean, if you only want to do one while you're there too, we can do that. We'll talk.
I mean, honestly, concert's Wednesday night, so we'd have to record probably sometime either during the day or Tuesday, but it should work. I honestly we'll make it work. I'm on vacation. I could still do it.
We're both men of the people. You know, I was absolutely drenched when we started this, soaked from outside, walked home in a monsoon, sleet, you know, just not sleet, I guess, hail, basically, pouring right in my face. Couldn't find my phone. It was on the ground in the water. I found it. It's okay.
All right, Clayton. Just go get your ass kicked in shell by your brother real quick.
He's at work. You get on. Play me once. Just one game real quick.
Nah, bro. I gotta go.
Do it for the pod. See ya.
Peace.